are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. And we are bringing you part two of the player grading series, the two-part series. Yesterday, if you missed it, we graded out the point guards and the shooting guards, went through, talked about each one of the players in the position, why they received the grade they did, how they can improve, what we're expecting of them in the second leg of this season. Seth Topol, my intrepid guest, is here again to help me grade out the front court. Seth, do you consider yourself an MVP of podcasting for coming back and doing the two-part series and going through all the grades and being so meticulous about this Timberwolves team?
I'll consider myself the
I'm giving Seth an A grade.
I'll give myself an A grade. I consider myself the everyman. That I'm like a better version of the mop-up reliever in baseball. You need me to come in the second inning, I'll do it. You need me to come in the seventh inning, I'll do it. Always willing to fill any role, and you'll never hear a complaint out of me once.
Versatility and flexibility, that's how we describe Seth here on the show. And you know what, let's dive into it, because we were really, I feel like, hitting a good stride in the show yesterday. And let's dive into it with small forwards. Yesterday we qualified Wiggins as a shooting guard, because really, when Jimmy Butler was on the team, he wasn't playing. Wiggins slid into the shooting guard spot a lot. Now he's slid into the shooting guard spot a lot more that Robert Covington is on this team. And so we graded him out as a shooting guard. So let's start out there with Covington as the small forward. So we've got for the small forward position, Robert Covington, and then we've got James Nunley, Keita Basejop, and Luol Deng. Now, a lot of these guys at this position do not play at all. It's going to make the grading super tough, Seth.
Well, that depends. Unless you are willing to hop right in and dunk down an A grade for Roko, as I am willing
ooh,
to do.
Ooh, hot take.
How about that? I'm just bringing the hot takes again, day two.
I love it. All right, back it up. Why is this an A grade because of Roko?
Well, I think it's no coincidence that Covington came in, and if you look at Butler and Covington and compare the two, Butler obviously more of a leader, a superstar type player. I think Covington was a perfect fit for this team because he's not that. And not to say that that's a bad thing, but Covington was much more of a role player on the 76ers last year, very successful Philadelphia team. He's much more of a role player. He's one of those, I'll slide into whatever role you need, no questions asked, and just make winning plays to win basketball games. And I mean, they go 9-3 with him on the court. The defense is top four in the NBA, to the point where I remember having conversations with some other NBA people that I talk with about whether or not he should get votes for Defensive Player of the Year, All-NBA First Team Defense, things along that line. And I think it's all justified. I think he has been just as good of an add as you could have expected for this team, because he's exactly what they needed. He's a premier wing defender who, when open, can knock down threes from outside. That is 100% the piece of the puzzle that this team was missing. Now, there is a need for another one of those guys, but Covington has had such positive results, and he seems to really have pulled this team back together in the wake of the Jimmy Butler trade. At that point, it looked like the season was lost and the season was going to just go completely into the tank. And he rallied everybody together and he said, no, we're going to get after this. We're going to get back into the race. And they go 9-3. I mean, now they're two games under 500, but he's been dinged up the last couple of games. We've seen that the defense has struggled. So honestly, even though he has only played a handful of games for the Wolves, I'm ready to call him one of the MVPs of the team. And so as a result, I have no hesitation in giving him an A grade because of how important he's been to this turnaround.
I gotta say, I feel like And again, I love Rocco, but I feel like some of the reasoning you gave at the end there is why I'm going to have to give this position a solid B, because you're right. He gave this team exactly what they needed, and they need another piece like him. And I feel like James Nunley might be that piece, that second piece that they need, like Rocco. And he's on their bench. I mean, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. He shot 51% 2 years in a row from three-point range in the EuroLeague. And then the year before that, I believe it was 49% from three. He's a really, really good deep shooter. And while I think you have to test out some of his defensive prowess and how he adjusts to the speed of the NBA game on defense, he's still there offensively. He still can be a really good offensive piece. And I get that minutes are tough to deal out. I would so much rather see James Nunley grab minutes than Gorgui, though. You know, and I feel like if you're committing to just wings and spreading teams out and getting long athletes out there, I think you would see that playing guys like Rocco with guys like Saric, guys like James Nunley, guys like Josh Okogie, and giving up those minutes that Gorgui is taking. I think that's because Gorgui, through 28 games that he's played in, has averaged 13.6 minutes. And I think that if you give five minutes a game or 6-7 minutes a game to James Nunley, just to test him out, I think that would be so much more well spent than playing Gorgui. And I think that James Nunley could be a sneaky, really good piece for this Timberwolves team to knock down some deep shots and help out that second team. And they just really haven't played him. He's been in only 8 games this season.
Yeah, I would. I agree with the point. I like the point. And yeah, that certainly is an area that they could just improve the overall depth of the bench if they give him a little more run. I've been so floored, and I was so, I don't want to say skeptical of the trade, but I didn't know what to think of it when the Wolves made the move. I knew Covington was a good player, but I think it worked out so well that I was so floored by the results after he came here to Minnesota. Even though they really haven't played anybody else at that three spot consistently, I'm still going high marks for Rocco because he has quietly become one of my favorite players even on this Wolves team.
Yeah, and it shows that it helps to play with point guards that can actually shoot. When you look at Rocco's stats going from the 76ers to the Timberwolves, I mean, all of his numbers, field goal percentage 44%, 3-point percentage 38%, those are jumps, and he's playing really well with the Timberwolves. And then he's averaging basically 3 steals per game almost here. And it just seems, which is a career, if he could get to around 3, it could be just about the best defensive performance of his career. He is he's looking remarkable, and this has turned out. This is probably the best case scenario for the Jimmy Butler trade that Timberwolves fans could have hoped for.
Yeah, I mean, long term picture, you probably would have been. We probably all would have been ecstatic with having Josh Richardson here. But short-term, and not to say Covington's not a long-term aspect of this trade, because he's under contract for 3 more years, so they'll have him for a considerable amount of time. But, yeah, this I think this was one of the better options for this trade. And, I mean, I don't know if anybody expected it to work out this well this quickly, but, hey, here we are, and the Wolves have made a comeback, and at this point in the year, with everything that's gone on, they're just 5.5 games out of first place, which is mind-boggling that they could still put another run together and get right back in this thing.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to the power forward spot and the other piece of that trade for Jimmy Butler. First, some sponsors. Breaking down position groups, it's time for power forwards. And another piece of that Jimmy Butler trade is in this position group. Dario Saric, Taj Gibson, Anthony Tolliver. That is what's rounding out the power forward spot for the Timberwolves. As far as these guys, I'm going to give them an A-. I really like this group of players. I think Dario Saric is played lights out. He's averaging almost 11 points per game, and he's starting to really get a chance in this lineup to actually show what he's got, to flex some of that talent. He's shooting 48% from the field, 35% from three-point range. And he's been really good. He's been really surprised in the last couple games, on this road trip especially, in transition, how good he's been in transition as an offensive player. He's also averaging about half a steal a game and 0.1 blocks per game. So he's showing up on defense. Taj Gibson, always the guy who's going to give you a few sneaky double-doubles that help you win a game throughout the season. He's just a wily veteran who's still putting up stats. He's averaging 10.4 points per game and 6.9 nice rebounds per game. As well as, hey, I'm glad you caught that. As well as Anthony Tolliver. I think Anthony Tolliver is another player who is just a sneaky good piece that they have buried on this bench. He's been in 17 games this season and averaged 4.8 points per game in his 16.2 minutes. And he's another guy who's shooting really well, 43% from the field, 40% from three-point range when he does get a chance to play. As far as just a position group, one of the smaller position groups for this team right there with point guards, only three guys really that you could qualify as power forwards, but really sneaky good as far as just what kind of product you're getting on the court from these three guys.
Yeah, it's been a group that's been pretty positive in terms of production, and I think you and I will both agree that we want to see a little more. I'd like to see more of Dario Saric, because he's come here and he does good things. He rebounds the ball a lot. He shoots the three quite a bit, but his minutes have kind of been in a little bit of a tug of war with Taj Gibson. So you can take their numbers together and kind of combine them, and then Anthony Tolliver as well. Yeah, it's a very nice rotation that the Wolves have at that power forward spot, and as a result, they're getting a lot of good production. Taj, steady as always, provides some good low post defense, but I think at some point, and feel free to agree or disagree with this, I think at some point I'd like to see things flipped. I'd like to see Saric get some run with Karl Anthony Towns as a way for them to play together on the court more, because that's going to be your long-term solution at the position, is those two down low. So we may as well start to see some doses of that here before too long.
I'll be super fine with that. I may even be fine with Dario starting. As far as lineups, I like with him too. I like the flexibility he has. I really liked in what was it? I think it was the Warriors game. I really liked the lineup they ran a decent chunk of that game with Dario, where you had the second unit out there, and then the starter with the second unit was Wiggins, and you had Dario, Josh Okogie, Tyus Jones, and Wiggins all out there on the floor together. I thought that was a really fun lineup. I'd like for them to play with that lineup a little bit more, and maybe even throw like Dario out there as a small ball five, and have Rocco out there instead of Gorgie, and have those five guys out there, just a really long athletic unit out there with Tyus Jones, a guard who's going to help push the pace of the basketball a little bit. I think that could be some really fun results coming from that kind of lineup.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that I think some lineup experimentation would not hurt this team at all, just because you have a set group of guys, but they all play together differently with different teammates. So why not experiment a little bit? Tibbs can get a little crazy. He can get crazy with the lineups if he wants to, and none of us are going to object to it one bit.
That's the thing that holds together with basically every single part of this position group grading, is you look at so many of the guys in these position groups, and they really are so flexible. And when you're – I mean, I know it was last year, Brad Stevens, and it holds true for the Celtics really well, but he said he just looks at his team as ball handlers, wings, and bigs. And while that doesn't apply to every single team, I think it really does apply to the Timberwolves. It really is ball handlers, wings, and bigs. And you can really pretty much put a vast majority of the roster in the wing spot, and then you have like Derrick Rose, Tyus Jones, Teague at ball handlers, and Towns at big. And if I think if you thought about their roster in that kind of context, as opposed to traditional position groupings, I think that that would be maybe more helpful when you're setting the lineups.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think we need to start to go from the 1-2-3-4-5 rigid structure of the lineups to which team's going to move, which group of players is going to move the ball the best. And yeah, if you start to lump them into those categories, then you can have a little more fun, a little more creativity with it, and creativity always a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just for Sarge either. Like Taj Gibson, he's shooting 41% from three this year. You know, I mean, like this position group, just like with the small forwards, just like with the shooting guards, this position group is full of guys who are just willing to do a bunch of different things that help out this team. And they're really flexible. And I think if you play on that flexibility more, I think that's when you're hitting the ceiling for this team. We're going to get to another break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to the final position group to grade out. First, some sponsors. Seth, as far as position groups, this could be the position group with the highest ceiling and the lowest floor as far as just who's in the position group. And obviously that's Karl Anthony Towns and Gorgui Dieng. And really talking about the best and kind of the, I don't want to say the worst because it feels like that's too harsh, but definitely for the money you're paying, it's not what you want to get as far as what you're getting from Gorgui. I mean, he's played in 28 games this season, but he's averaging 13.6 minutes per game and 6.8 points per game. He's only giving you 3.9 rebounds per game when he's out on the court. I mean, he's been playing okay, but like I've said so many times, I'd really like to see his minutes go to different players. And I feel like there's some versatility that you could really play out. I know that everybody talks about how they need another center. I would be fine with Karl Anthony Towns being the only true center on this team. And I'm giving them an A grade, my first A grade for our grading here, because Towns is so good and so important to this team. But that's only because I would be fine with Gorgui not playing any minutes at all and seeing Towns being the only person in this position group.
Yeah, I like the A grade despite the anchor dragging the boat a little bit, that being Gorgui Dieng. And nothing against Gorgui, it's just he got a contract that was a little bit too rich for most of our tastes, and he has been playing it out. But yeah, I think the minutes would be better suited elsewhere to try to just get some more players some chances with those minutes. But even considering that, Karl Anthony Towns is phenomenal, and the improvements he's made on the defensive side of the ball this year are well documented, and some of that is the Roko effect, but some of it is just him finally starting to kind of take charge of that side of the ball as well. So he even if Gorgui was averaging, like, even if his PER was like minus 100, I think it would still be an A grade because of how good Karl Anthony Towns is.
Exactly. And he leads this team in points, rebounds, and blocks. He's averaging 21.5 points per game, 11.8 rebounds, 1.7 blocks. He's been a monster. He's really locking in and looking better defensively, looking more aggressive on the boards on both offense and defense, because he's averaging 3.2 offensive rebounds per game. I really love what Towns is doing. He's been critical to this team, to say the least, and we all knew that going into the season, but to see him kind of lock into that version of Towns that was playing when Butler was out to finish out last year has been encouraging, to say the least. That said, and again, I don't dislike Gorgui as a person, and you know what? We're pro player here on Locked On Wolves. I mean, good job for you to get your money. Way to get your money, Gorgui. That said, this is a team that would really benefit from just really buying into the theory of we've got to play just a ton of wings and we got to play just a lot of long, fast guys. And so his minutes really do need to go to guys from the small forward, shooting guard, power forward position group. I mean, James Nunley needs to play more. Tyus Jones needs to play more. Josh Okogie needs to play more. And there's not a ton of minutes to give up, but that 13, so when there's not a lot of minutes, that 13.6 that Gorgui is taking really becomes a massive number.
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes the most critical minutes on the team. Is you know what you're getting from your starters and from the more important portions of the bench. So then you've got that little area of minutes, and it's like, well, we're getting this right now. Is there a way that we can maximize it? And I think there need to be some discussions had about if they are truly maximizing that amount of minutes, considering how many guys are just sitting on the bench doing nothing.
I don't want to talk too much about Gorgie because Carl Anthony Towns is in this position group. So let's close out this episode. Is this the ceiling right now for Towns this season? I really think that this is not his ceiling just as far as a career, obviously, the way he's playing this season. But just for this year, just in 1 year parameters, is this kind of the ceiling to expect from Towns? Or do you think he can lock into another level this year?
Oh, my. That is a phenomenal question.
Thank you. I'm trying my best over here.
I will say that it probably is the ceiling for this year. But
because as a big man, he's giving you a 49, 40, and 86 from the field, the three-point line, and the free throw line. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's absurd. Those are video game numbers. You look at the amount of people who have put together that magic 50-40-90 season, and the list is incredibly small.
And it's not like he's only taking 2 threes per game. He's almost taking 5 3-point attempts per game.
Right. Yeah. For that number, for him to be even close to those numbers is just unbelievable. The area for him to improve is going to be the defensive side of the ball, and he's already done that this year. But I don't know. I have a feeling that as Towns kind of grows into his frame, that's the other thing too, is as he starts to kind of grow into his frame, he's going to become a nightmare for people to try to match up with.
100%. And the thing is that I think that he's playing out of his mind. I think his numbers get better if his team plays better around him. It, like in that Warriors game, they didn't really have – there's games where they just don't have a commitment to the three-point shot or they're just not feeling it from three. They only took 25 threes in that game. And in the fourth quarter of that game, Towns is getting like triple teamed down the paint. Like if his team stays consistent from outside and they throw a lot of different things on the perimeter against defenses and they give him more one- or two-man matchups, I think his rebounds go up. And that's – again, that's not a knock on Towns. That's just saying if his team reaches a higher ceiling, I think his stats get better just because – again, there's so many times where in the fourth quarter, Towns is getting swarmed on the boards because that's really the only thing you can do against Towns is put a bunch of bodies on him because he's going to beat you in man-to-man defense or in the post man-to-man or on the boards just one-on-one. And so I think the way his stats get better is if his team plays better around him, and that's not because he's playing necessarily under some level right now. I think that's just because then his team is giving him more opportunity, which is a crazy thing to think Towns getting better is only because his team is playing smarter, not because he's doing something different, because he's playing amazing right now.
And that, my friend, is why Golden State is such a deadly team, is because all of those guys are so good that you can't truly throw extra attention to any of them. And exactly. So if the Wolves get to a point where they've got three or four reliable options around Carl Anthony Towns, then he's going to hit that next level where he's maybe averaging 28 and 15.
I can totally see him averaging 5 offensive rebounds if they become an even better 3-point shooting team.
I fully agree, and that would not shock me one bit if he starts to put up some numbers like that.
Seth, I appreciate the hell out of you doing this. This has been a lot of fun grading every single position for the Timberwolves. Make sure everyone to check out Seth's radio show. Seth, you do pretty much everything every single day. You're covering all the sports. You're handling a bunch of different things. You got your fingers in a bunch of different pies, as it were. You're working hard out there. Make sure you're giving him some love, going and checking out all of his productions for The Scoop, all of the things he's doing for sports radio. Seth, throw out your Twitter handle just so they can follow you there as well.
For sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Topes. SETHTOUPS, all one word. I'm very active on Vikings football Sundays. Very active throughout the week as well. And you can find all of my other venues from there. You can find the Scoop from there as well. So make sure to check that out. And don't take anything that I say on Twitter too seriously, because I never do.
I love it. Go check out his stuff. Thank you again, Seth, for joining the show. And thank you, everyone, for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.